And we are back. Happy Truck and Hustle Tuesday, y'all. Listen, today is a very, very special day for me personally, for the Hustle fam. Today makes 1 year or 52 weeks of published episodes for Truck and Hustle. Today we turn 1 year old. Happy, happy, happy Truck and Hustle birthday, y'all. We made it, man. 52 weeks. This is episode 53, but in actuality, we've been publishing for 52 weeks. So we here. We made it for a year. Listen, I just wanna thank everybody who has been along for this ride, who has supported this show. It means so much to me, man. Every single DM, every single person has reached out. You know, y'all know I always try to get back and show love. And man, I appreciate it, man. This ride has been crazy, man. I never imagined, you know, what this show, or never could have imagined what this show has grown into. And, you know, I just want to take a second just to thank all of you for listening. Thank all of you for reposting, sharing every week, spreading that Hustle fam love. Like, it means a lot to me, man, for real. And, you know, I just also want to definitely thank all the guests, all the amazing guests that have been on the show that have made this show what it is today. Because, you know, y'all are the ones who bring the people back, man. It's y'all stories. It's y'all experiences. It's y'all knowledge, you know, that makes the Hustle fam what it is, man. So love, love, love to everybody, man. We 1 year old today, man. 1 year old Truck and Hustle. So. You know, it's going to keep on going, man. This ain't going to never stop. You know, Truck and Hustle is an extension of me. And as long as I have breath in my lungs, I'm going to keep on bringing y'all this content. And we're going to keep on expanding this show and making it grow. You feel me? All right. So that's that. What else? All right. So let's get into the show. Listen, y'all. Being today is Truck and Hustle's birthday, I figured it was only right that we have a birthday party, man. And every birthday party, you know, you're always going to invite your closest day ones, you know, and the people who held you down from the beginning, man. So I felt that it was right to bring back my brother Damian Blackman, Jada Truck and Empire, to the show. You know, because a lot of things have changed in the last year. You know, he's gone through some different things in his business. And I think it's important to show growth, man. You know, one thing, you know, when you hear people's stories, it's always great to, you know, kind of be able to follow up and see what's going on and see what's new. And, you know, it's just so encouraging to, you know, see where someone starts and, you know, see where they end up and follow the stories. And I want to do more of these where I bring, you know, former guests back. If y'all have anybody that y'all want to hear in particular, slide me that DM and let me know who y'all want to hear again on the show. I know y'all have a lot of favorites. But Jada is definitely one of those favorites that people always ask about and people always want to hear more from. So I brought him back on the show just to talk about his growth, his development, what's been going on in his business, and to help me celebrate this year anniversary, because it's only right, you know, that I celebrate with my day ones, you know what I'm saying, who supported me from day one. Jada is somebody who I reached out to, you know, when I didn't have a following at all. And, you know, I told him my idea and, you know, he didn't hesitate to jump on board and say, yo, man, I got you, family, whatever you need, let's do it. And, you know, I'm the kind of person, I never forget, you know, things like that, man. It's just the way I'm built. You know, I'm always going to be grateful to anybody who supports me in my efforts. So, you know, he's a friend and a brother for life. So, you know, today we're going to talk about his journey, man. We're going to get back into it. Also exciting news, man. He actually just recently dropped a course. A dump truck course, Big Drip. We're going to talk about that. He actually has two courses. He has a drip course and then he has Big Drip. So one is more so a beginner course for more novices, like kind of, you know, getting your feet wet. And then he has another big course that's a little bit more advanced. So y'all going to hear about that. We also at the end of the show talk about, you know, a little bit of a promo, man. He wants to give away a course for free. You're going to hear about the rules to that. We talk about it in this show. So y'all listen to that. Listen to the end to hear the rules to get the Big Drip course for free. And make sure y'all follow that. We're going to be giving away that course for free. And also, he's offering a 1 week 30% off on the show, you know, for anybody who checked this out and uses the code Truck and Hustle. I'm gonna put the link in my bio, so you can just go to my Instagram page, go on the Truck and Hustle, go on my link, click it, and you'll get 30% off on the Big Drip course as well. So, you know, we try to come with gifts, man. But listen, I don't want to talk y'all ear off. I know y'all want to get into the show. So we gonna start this year off the way we started off the first year, right? We gonna put your ears on, right? Put your ears on. And if you smell something burning, it's only your desire. Hustle fam, I love y'all. Let's go. What's up, y'all? This is Rommel Watley, and welcome to Truck and Hustle, the podcast for trucking entrepreneurs. If you want to learn about the trucking industry from the business side of things, you're in the right place. Every week, I interview the people who are making it happen on a daily basis. I get them to share their successes, their failures, and sometimes even their secrets. The goal is to show you how you too can create financial freedom in the booming trucking industry. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Not everyone deserves help or your help, right? And not everyone has the same intentions as you do. You took a huge hit, man. But that can't stop me.
Turn my mic up. Where you? Take there. Yeah, yeah. On the road to the riches. Life takes a toll like bridges. Good friends become foes and snitches. Better watch who knows in your business. All right, Hustle fam, we are back. Man, I had a crazy idea to start interviewing trucking entrepreneurs, right? I wanted to, shed some light on some things that, you know, were going on in the trucking industry. And I wanted to shed some light on the people who are, you know, the people who are making things happen in the trucking industry. And, one of the first people who I came across, honestly, in doing so, when I was doing my Instagram searches and just trying to figure out who I could interview, man, who really had that swagger, who really had that it factor that I really wanted to kind of spotlight on this show. I came across this brother right here, Damian Blackman, aka Jada Trucking Empire, and I say, yo, this is him. This is it. This man right here embodies this movement. Not only did I want to touch on the business side, but I wanted to touch on the culture. I wanted to, you know, touch on the swag, just everything that, you know, he basically brought my vision to life. You know, he brought it to fruition. So I said, this is my man right here. I reached out to him. He actually was my first interview, but he was my second show. So you were the first person that I interviewed, Damian, but I actually published you second. But yo, it's good to be back here right now. It's kind of perfect because it's been a year. This was a perfect time to bring you back to just kind of show the growth, man, and just show, you know, what's been going on in your life and your business, you know, in this time, and just kind of just bring it back around full circle. So welcome to Truck and Hustle, Damian Blackman, Jada Trucking Empire. Welcome to the show, my brother.
Thank you. Hopefully my interview lives up to that intro, man.
Oh, man. Listen, I was trying to find the words, man, because this is epic, man. Like, this really means a lot to me because it's dope to be able to circle back around and talk to you again. We're both in different spaces in our business and what we're doing. And it's really dope to have this conversation again. And for the people who are new to the show, you know, who may have not gotten back to episode 2, you know what, right? I mean? They get a chance to be reintroduced to you and learn about what you're doing in this game. So it's my honor, man, and my pleasure to have you on the show today, man.
Thank you. Thanks, sir. Thanks for having me back here, for sure.
All right, so let's get it, man. So we're going to talk about dump trucks today. We're going to talk about business today. We're going to talk about entrepreneurship today. We'll probably, you know, end up veering off and talking about a whole bunch of things today. But first and foremost, tell the people a little bit about yourself. Tell them what you do, man.
I am a young Black entrepreneur that decided to go into the dump truck niche. Trucking is huge in itself, but I wanted to just stay in the dump truck lane for a specific reason. So that's what I do. I run dump trucks. I'm dump truck everything. I'm a father. I'm a student. I am a teacher. I'm a person for my people, just living by example and mistakes, and I'm bringing it all to all my folks, man. I'm not perfect, but yeah, trying to lead my people the best way I know how. You know what I mean?
No yes, doubt. Sir. And you're in Canada, right?
Yes, sir. I'm in Toronto, Canada, to be exact. Yeah.
For sure. All right, so let's get into it, man. You said you were in the dump truck niche, a niche that a lot of people are interested in getting into. Why dump trucks, man? Why the dumps?
A few things, man. It's local. I can still go and make. It's a work-life balance. So I can go for 10 to 12 hours for the day, make some great money, whether I'm owning or just an employee. And I can still come home and hit a patio. I can still go home and go to the gym. I can still go home and hang out with the kids. I might get home early enough to pick them up from school, take them to the at-school program. So it's a work-life balance. I'm not on the road. Not on the road for long distances, anything like that. And yeah, I'm local. I like the locality of it.
No doubt. Now you've been in business now for how long?
Officially, so 4 years, 3-4 years.
Four years. Yeah. So when we first interviewed, you were in your third year of business, and now you're in your fourth year.
Yes.
So what has changed for you in the last year?
Knowledge and lessons.
Yeah,
knowledge, lessons, more insight. I got more contacts, more contracts. I've networked more. I've put more people on. I've just become more confident in just entrepreneurship, period. Right. We've had a couple L's as any business would have, but we're still going. I've made some partnerships and yeah, we're growing. Yeah,
no doubt.
We're growing.
All right. I love it. So for the people who aren't familiar with you, talk a little bit about your background prior to getting into the dump truck business.
Sheesh. So I was incarcerated in 2015 for firearms and drugs. Was sentenced to 3.5, only did two and change, and came home, and I've been driving since I was 20. I'm 36 now, so I got 16 going on 17 years of driving experience and industry and experience in the business, period. Before I was incarcerated, I wasn't owning. I was driving. I was still driving dump trucks and stuff like that with the plans to become an owner. But, you know, when you're incarcerated, you have nothing in there but time. So time to reflect and see what's going on and plan for your life. And that's exactly what I did. I got down to planning. And I decided that once I get home, I'm running the streets still, but it's going to be legally and it's going to be in dump trucks. So I just planned my business that way. When I came home, I got busy, got a loan, got some finances in order and just went to work. And here we are now.
Got you. All right. So when we first talked, you know, talk a little bit about how your business has expanded. You talked about you took some L's. Let's talk about some of those L's, man, from the last time we talked to now.
Bad business partnerships. Me, I always want to help everyone. Not everyone deserves help or your help, right? And not everyone has the same intentions as you do. Everyone's heart is not as the same as yours, and not everyone, you can't expect you from everyone, right? So with I made some bad decisions. And I lost a couple trucks, like about two trucks, just the business. And then the business just went sour with the partner and whatnot, or that we had invested in. And I won't go into too much details there. You know what I mean? But yeah, we lost two trucks. That partnership dissolved. And those assets were just gone. So that hit me. That hit me hard, not only financially, but more emotionally, more mentally. And then just... that was like in the wintertime. And then after that, the COVID hit and then everything just started to slow right down. I mean, actually, right? Okay. So there's less income. You have to go through lawyers, you have to go through court proceedings. However, you can't even do that because the courts all shut down for this COVID-19 stuff. So yeah, we took a huge hit, man. But that can't stop me.
For sure. That
can't ever stop me. You know, sure. I learned from that. I learned what to do, what not to do in that situation. Cause I've never been in that situation where I can be betrayed by a partner.
Got you. So you were actually in the process of dissolving a partnership and also COVID hit, which was impacting the work and impacting business. So it's like two things are hitting you at one time. So
you're spacing hit.
You're spending money with lawyers and all that type of stuff, working on dissolving that partnership, and the money's not coming in. So how did you recover from that?
Well, I took some time off, and I just went and got reacquainted with myself. So I went to I did my meditation. And if anyone's been following my Instagram page, you'll notice that in the wintertime, before COVID and just during COVID, you would always notice me in the morning time on the hill somewhere early in the morning. So every day I would get up around 5, 6 a.m. and I would go out and I would go meet with the Most High, and I would go and I would go pray, I would go meditate, and I would just get back to myself, right? Figuring out what's going on, because I'm a firm believer that it's all our fault, right? So you could either, I had to figure out what I did wrong, what I allowed to go wrong, right? So I had to take full responsibility for me. What did I do? Not just them, not them at all. It wasn't even about them. What did I do? And then I just literally got my confidence back. And then ideas started flowing and partnerships started coming, opportunities started coming to me as I got myself better, right? I listen to Jim Rohn a lot, and Jim Rohn always says, if you want to make more money, basically, to do better, you have to be better. You have to become better. So I just went to go figure out what type of stuff that I have inside of me that was limiting my opportunities, right? You have to go do some self-reflection. Okay, what am I doing? What have I done? What can I change? What should I be changing? What should I be thinking about? Right? And then after that, I started to free up. My spirit started to be free.
Right.
And then my mentor hit me up. Like, we were talking because I have a mentor, which is very important, guys. Get a mentor. So my mentor hit me up after a while, and he was like, let's do business. What? Yeah. I looked at the numbers, saw the numbers. I want in. How can we partner? What? Yeah. And then from then we just partnered.
Okay, dope. So you said something important there. You said what did you do? Mm-hmm. What do you think you did? I mean, what was it? Do you think you tried to grow too fast? You think you were too ambitious? Talk about that a little bit.
Yes. Nothing wrong with being too ambitious, but there's a timing for everything. Right. And one of my things is I felt that when I look back on life, I felt that I know I'm growing and I know that I've wasted a lot of time. And when I was in the streets, I didn't really realize how much time I was wasting until I went to jail. And when I look back at my time in jail, I say I could have been more. And I don't want to die without fulfilling my purpose. My children are getting older. And I feel like I just want to hurry up and get to where I was rushing the process.
Right.
I want to hurry up and get there because I want my children to be proud of their father. I want my father, rest in peace, to be proud of his father. I want my sisters to be proud of their brother. The man with so much potential, but hasn't really done too much yet. That's my thinking. What they're thinking totally different. I've done it. I'm doing it. I'm making them proud. But the amount of pressure that I placed on myself to hurry up and get to where I need to get, that was too much. And I rushed the process. So, yeah, let's partner. Let's do this. Oh, you want to be a part of the business? You want to get it in? Well, I got the contracts. I have the work. I have this and that. Let's do it. I'm not vetting everyone because I'm like, what's the worst that can go wrong? I'm thinking.
Right.
And the worst went wrong. You know what I mean? But I'll tell everyone, don't go too fast. It'll come. Whatever is for you will come, right? You can't rush it. Don't rush it.
Right. What are some of the lessons that came out of that partnership? I mean, not to dig too deep into your business, but like, were there some concessions that you would maybe make in future partnerships? What would you do differently? Because you just now said you're getting into other partnerships now. So obviously you're not against partnering with people. Right.
No.
That didn't sour your whole ideology on partnerships. But what did you do differently now in these new partnerships that you didn't do before?
I'm looking at your business acumen. What have you done before? What are you doing now? How can you benefit this company and how can I benefit you? Right? Are you an honest person? Does your bank account match that? Right? Stuff like that. So yeah, you just can't, just don't jump into business with everyone because, and then what are your goals? Right? Is it just money? Because I don't want just money. I could have been a multimillionaire last night if it was just about money. I could go do some things, but it's all about integrity, right? Not all money is good money. And I just don't want your money because I want to get to where I need to get, right? So yeah, those are a few things.
What about from a legal aspect? Is there anything that people should put in place when they want to jump into a partnership?
Make sure your contract is right. Get yourself a lawyer, drop the contract, and yeah, just protect yourself with a lawyer, an accountant and all that. Whatever the part, would it be a partnership? Would it be just a cash investor? Whatever it is, just make sure the paperwork is done correct. Just protect yourself legally, for sure. Make sure like all your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted, and just hold yourself and that partner to that contract.
All right, so let's talk about the business where we're at right now. What are we looking at? Talk to me a little bit about the business where it is today.
Jeez. Well, we've acquired more trucks, more dump trucks, but most importantly, so I wanted to always have a fleet, right? So what I do now is I allow other companies to run under my CVOR, which is under my authority. Right. So they're running under my CVOR, under my company name in quotation marks, but it's their truck. What that in turn does is get a person who may be new into the company or new into the business. Their authorities may be too new to get the perfect insurance rate, insurance premium, or they may only have one truck. And to go get a larger contract, you cannot. They're not looking at you because you only have one truck. So now you're partnering with Jada Inc., who's been in business for 4 years now. And has great contacts and a network for contracts. Now you're running under us. Now it looks like a larger fleet. So now you're getting premium top dollar jobs, right? So that's what we're doing right now.
Okay. So how many trucks do you have running under in your fleet right now currently?
Seven.
Okay. Seven. And what, talk to me about how that progressed. Like, did you start off just reaching out to different contacts? Like, talk to me about that process.
No, man. So during that whole, because I used to dispatch many, many more trucks, but during that process, I started to focus on quality as opposed to quantity.
Okay.
Right. So the team that I have now, they're like, they're just down. They get the vision. They get the goal and they're just running. So we like have like my good friend Cardo Fresh. He's on Instagram, right? He runs with us. You know what I mean? He's part of the team. There's a few others that are part of the team, and it's just much better.
Got you. So these guys are running under your authority, and basically everybody's up under the umbrella.
Yes. And Cardo's doing this thing also. Shout out to Cardo. But yeah, how we started out, we just wanted to get this, build this a network of guys that we know we're going to go attack this sector or this work, or you know what I mean? As opposed to people who are just jumping ship because they want to see money, right? We just want to build a solid team. And that was it.
Got you. Talk to me about how COVID has impacted your business, man.
Shut everything down. Because we're doing construction, right? Mm-hmm. So there were a few jobs where the construction can still go, but because of the construction sites, so many people couldn't be in this. Social distancing was a factor, right? So the workers couldn't be distant, so they had to shut that down. So there was no work. Our season gets started around March, right? So yeah. No.
So when did they start things back up?
Officially, but we started probably a month ago. What are we right now? June, July? Yeah, about end of May, okay. June. Yeah, okay. Things are really like flowing now. Where it's getting back into the motion where it's supposed to be, which is actually a good thing because there was such a backlog of work that now there's an abundance of work.
Okay. So at what point were you able to start making these connections and get these guys under your MC? Did you start making those moves during COVID or
COVID?
Okay. So you were starting to put the team together because you knew this would happen.
during those during those downtimes, because many people always look for the upticks to make connections and make moves. No, find out what it is in the downs, right? That's when your opportunities are really there, right? So while I was down and I had time to think, time to focus, time to re-strategize, all these things came into play and I was like, okay, let me make these, because once everything gets going again, it's gonna be too busy, it's gonna be too crazy. So I prepared all those things during the COVID shutdown.
Got you. Did you ever have thoughts of trying to do something different, trying to do something else, get into another niche?
Man, look, yeah, I did. I was like, you know what? I'm going to, because after a while, I'm like, let me go try running the semis for a minute, because I know that they'll be running, period, because it's an essential service. But I'm like, nah, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to wait this thing out.
Right.
Gonna wait this thing out, and yeah, this is exactly what I did, and I'm glad I did. Not to say anything wrong with trucking, because I love trucking, period, because in the future I do want to own semis again, right? Because that is part of the fleet, because I want to diversify, but I'll just have like a couple semis or whatnot, but my main thing is dump trucking, right? Because I want to build a business, right? So I don't want to alienate myself. But yeah, no, I was like, nah, I got this. So I went, I just got busy. Got busy, man. I went to planning, I went to thinking. I just looked at the market. I looked at the numbers. I looked at the opportunities. I looked at so much stuff during that downtime that now it all makes so much sense. And I'm glad I did that, because I had time to focus. Had I gone on the road, I'd be gone on the road many days and this and that. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to sit and focus, right? And that's exactly what I did. I kept hearing the Most High saying, just trust me. Focus, figure out what you have to figure out.
Right.
Glad I did. That's the most important thing, because in those times where we're in bad times, we're always tempted to just scramble, do what you think is no, sit, wait, trust you. Been here before. We've been in these situations before, right? If you look back at any situation you've been in, when you were going through those situations, you thought, oh, shit, this is it. I don't know how I'm getting out of this. But we're here.
Right.
We're here now. So you got over it. So then I had to remind myself that, give myself that confidence, like, you will get out of this also. You just have to figure out what's going on. And if you're going to let this break you, when you have 120 trucks and it's an issue you can't deal with this, then it's a wrap.
Right,
you can't handle the success that's coming for you. And that's another thing that I believe I was being taught also, right? You want all these things. You want to be able to own a multi-million dollar business. Multi-million dollar stresses come with that. So if you can't handle $100,000 stress, how are you going to handle $100 million stress?
Right. For sure. How has COVID impacted like the rates? Have the rates changed? Are they the same as what's going on? Okay.
So dump trucking rates don't change. That's another thing I love also. Dump trucking rates don't really change. They don't fluctuate as freight rates do, right? That's it. You get your $90 an hour, your $95 an hour rate, sometimes $100 an hour, but the average is $95 an hour, and that's your rate.
Mm.
Yeah, that's your rate for excavation. That's your rate.
Okay, gotcha. Got you. So it hasn't impacted you at all really on that front. So that's a good thing.
The great thing also about that is fuel prices are low. So right now
I was going to ask about fuel too.
Best thing ever right now.
Yeah.
Fuel prices. That's the best thing ever right now. Fuel prices. They're low. So that was always our largest expense, fuel. And fuel is like, boy, it's like, yeah.
So the margins are a lot better right now.
A lot better. Into dump trucking, guys. Pull up.
Okay, dope. So we said get into dump trucking. So let's kind of segue into that. Since we've last talked, you've got into education, right? You've created you've created multiple platforms. Your first platform, no doubt. Talk about that. Talk about creating these platforms. Your mindset, why you did it. Just get into that a little bit.
So I've always wanted to do courses and stuff like that. Also, however, timing wasn't always or right for me. So during this time, I know that one of the things are for successful entrepreneurship is having more than one stream of income. Okay. So I'm sitting there thinking like, you know what? I'm going to sit here and cry about things while I'm figuring it. No, how about we just create, go ahead and create this course and teach the people what they need to know, especially now that they have time to do so, right? Because I think COVID is also, I think the impact had a good cause also, because it slowed people down. Now they have time to read, time to study, time to think, because once you're working, you have limited time. Right now we had all the time in the world to study and learn. So I'm like, Okay, how can I get my people directly? And that's exactly what I did. So I'm like, okay, let me go ahead and put this course out. So I gave the beginner course. That was also for me also, because I never did any course. I know I do like consultations and I teach my people on Instagram, but I wasn't exactly sure how to go about it. So I got in touch with some people who assisted me and I just put it out. Even you, I remember I asked, like, yo, can check this out. What do you think? This and that, right?
Right.
You know? Yeah, I put that out there and yeah, teach my people.
Got you. So when you put together a course like that and you have all this information that's packed into your mind from your experience, your trials, your tribulations, how do you flesh out a course like that? What's your process for doing that?
I go about it as if I would do my consultation. So I go about it in steps, right? Literally what I have encountered, what's needed from beginning to the end of everything. And I just put it out like that. Literally, that's the information I give you. So everything that you would need from the paperwork, your authorities, what you might run into, all the steps that you would need to get your trucking business started down to the trucks, I just put that into the course.
Got you. So I'd like to give like the people a little bit of a peek into the course so they kind of know what they could expect. So just, you know, initially getting into the business, what are some of the first things you want to think about when you're first starting out?
Your finances. Do you have operating cash flow, right? Because I know one thing that I failed to do when I first got into it was having enough operating cash flow. Yes, I could purchase a truck. You can purchase a truck, but you're going to need at least 2 months worth of operating expenses. And I would say make sure that your bag is right and long enough to carry you through 2 to 3 months.
Okay. Give me something else.
Look for the right truck. All right, let's get into it. So look for the right truck, right? Make sure you get the right truck. Make sure you get the right horsepower, right? You can go to a truck that is newer or older but has less horsepower, right? Make sure you have enough horsepower because you want to be able to haul the loads efficiently and quickly. You don't want to be climbing a hill at 15 kilometers an hour, right? You want to be able to run that. Make sure that you're not just buying a lemon. So many people get into this this idea of, okay, I don't want to go spend too much money on a newer truck. I have, say, $20,000, $30,000. I'm just going to go buy this old truck because I could get it. And that truck may be a lemon. So that truck is going to cost you more in the long run than if you were to put $15,000, $20,000 down on financing a truck, right? Or if you have, let's say, a $60,000 budget, buy a $50,000 truck, put some money into it, and it's yours. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Get you a good accountant. Set up the corporation correctly, right? Another big thing for us here, especially in Toronto, is factoring. And factoring will take 7% from your revenues. And that adds up over time. So if you can go without factoring, if you can wait 30 to 60 days to get direct payment from a construction company, you're saving yourself a lot more money and the jobs are better.
Got you. When it comes to scaling with dump trucks, because I've seen, I follow a lot of different people who are in a dump game, including yourself. And I see people scale. Some people scale slower. Some people scale fast. I've seen one dump to like 20 dump trucks in like a year. Like, right. How do you know when it's the right time to scale?
If you have the proper connections to work. If you know you have work and drivers, you can go ahead and scale. Because like I said, what separates is there's the bottom of the barrel jobs, and then there's like, okay, I have work, I have connections. So I know that, okay, there's a contract for the highways being extended, and there's like a a $70 million contract. Okay, well, I have the trucks to do so. I have the work to do so. I have the connections to do so. Let me go ahead on and get more trucks, right? It's just building your relations.
Got you. Yeah. So you said bottom of the barrel jobs. What would be those type of jobs? What are bottom of the barrel jobs?
All the time, those are jobs where you just run all day. The dump sites may be trash. They're not paved properly or graded properly, so you're ruining your truck. There's lots and lots of people on there, different companies. So here in Toronto, right, we have these factoring companies. Now, I'm going to put them on blast.
But yeah.
If you're in Toronto, you know who they are, right? And when you go to these companies, they don't really care about the jobs they're getting because they're getting their 7% from these 100 trucks every day, right? So what happens is you go to these jobs where, like, they overload you. They give you crappy dirt, right? It's just those are the bottom of the barrel jobs,
yeah.
Right? You're overloaded. You're not getting enough hours. They talk to you any type of way. Those are the bottom of the barrel jobs. And then a lot of people are there because they can't afford to wait 30 to 60 days for a paycheck. So they go to the bottom of the barrel jobs, right? So now this year, I haven't been on a bottom of the barrel job. You know, me, no offense to anybody.
B.O.B., we're going to call them Bobs. We haven't done no Bobs.
We're not on no Bobs. I'm a hashtag.
No Bobs. The bottom of the barrels.
We're not on no Bob jobs. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
What we're doing is now we're going directly to the company. I'm going to wait our 30 to 60 days. And those jobs are much, much easier. They're better on fuel. They're not overloading, right? The job sites are graded. They're respectful because it's like, okay, we can wait. We know they don't have us by our balls, right? So they can't tell us anything because we need the money. No, I could wait 30, 60 days.
Right.
I mean, so it's just different. It's different.
Got you. Explain the protocol for me because, I mean, a lot of times, you know, I don't know much about dump trucks, about that game. So, I see what I see. So a lot of times you see a lot of dump trucks on one site and it just kind of looks like, you know, it's like a free-for-all. Like, how do things kind of work in a dump game? Just for people who aren't in the game but are interested in it, like they see the dump trucks, they think they look cool. Like, how does a day – talk to me about a day in the life of a dump truck driver in dump truck business.
Okay. So you pull up to a job site. So the excavation site, right, that's probably – let's say it's a residential neighborhood or they're building a condo or whatnot. So – that's where you pick up your dirt from. And then there's a dump site. So you'll say your start day is at 7 a.m. You pull up, you get loaded with your dirt, and then you have to go and deliver it to a designated site. That's the dump site.
Okay, right? So hold on. Stop right there. So even prior to that, before we even get to the dump site, who's giving you that load? Like, how is that transaction happening?
Okay, so there's usually a dispatcher, right?
Okay.
So if you're at the bottom of the barrel jobs, even if you're not, there's a dispatcher. So the night before, you may get a text, or you will get a text or a call, and it'll say, okay, pull up at 123 Bob Job Court, and you're going to be, the job rate is $90 an hour, right? You'll be working for such and such a company.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
You sign out on your bills that way.
Now, this dispatcher has direct connections with the excavation site?
Yes, with the company.
That you may not necessarily have. So they have direct relations with those shippers. Okay. Those sites.
Like, I'll be a dispatcher. So I'll have connections to the excavation or the construction company, and they'll say, hey, Jada, we need 20 trucks.
Okay.
So I will go and now contact 20 trucks and say, we have work here. This is the rate. This is the destination, all the information needed. And then they show up.
And how are you getting those relationships?
You mean the business relationships?
Yeah.
So because of I will either go and contact them, sign up with their company and let them know, hey, I'm a broker. I have a fleet of trucks, and they'll be like, okay, I have a fleet, such and such, where you parked. Let them know all that stuff, sign up with them, and then we create a contract, and that's how I get those relationships.
So is it typically like a waiting list, or is it something like there's so much job, the demand is so much where as soon as you sign up, it's like you're right to work? How does that work?
As soon as you sign up, you're right to work in the dump truck game. There's so much, especially if you live in a large metropolitan area like Toronto or Dallas or New York. There's so much construction going on right away.
So they're waiting for people like you.
Yes, they're waiting for people like us.
Like, yeah. For sure, for sure. All right, cool. So I got that part. All right, so let's get back to the process now. I'm sorry for bringing it back, but I just wanted to put it all right. together. All right, so yeah, go ahead.
And then, so once you get all your information the night before, now you pull up to the job at, say, 7 a.m. if it starts, you get loaded, and then once you get loaded, you get sent to your destination. When you get sent to your destination, you dump your load, return back, and you do that all over again until the day is ended. So now you either get paid by load or you get paid by the hour if you're doing excavation. So by load is good sometimes, depending on how much you're getting paid and how far you're running. But by hour, I believe sometimes it's usually better because you get a slower pace, right? You're paid by.
Got you. So when you're getting loaded, are there any different challenges that you may find in getting loaded? Do you get held up sometimes? Like, talk to me about that.
Yeah, so you can get held up.
And do they pay for that?
No, you won't get paid for that. Right, so you can get held up if the machine is broken, if the loader is slow to load, if it's different material, if there's a lot of trucks in your area or in your job site, that can get you held up. Because let's say, for example, like I remember when I first started, and me and my friend OD1, we would go to this job site downtown Toronto, but we had to be the job starts at 7 a.m. We were like, we pulled up like at 6:30, and I was like the 30th or 40th truck. You're not getting any loads that way.
Right.
So we pulled up at 5 a.m. I was like the 20th truck. I realized I had to pull up at 2 a.m. to park, and I was the 10th truck. And I had to wait until 7 a.m. to pull off.
Wow. Yeah.
So if you have a lot of trucks, and if you're not there early, you won't be loaded. And that was by load. Right. So those were one of the examples of a bottom of the barrel job.
Got right? it. So in that particular case, it's first in, first out. There's no appointment times, nothing like that.
Exactly. No.
Okay.
Right. And then another thing is being overloaded. So many of these companies are going to overload you because they want to get as much dirt out of their job site as possible. However, many of the trucks are rated for only carrying 22 ton, right? So with a 36,000 gross weight, some of these guys, you'd be like at 40, 42, and that falls on you if the DOT pulls you over, right? So we don't want that either because that's damaging on the brakes. You can't stop correctly. It's unsafe. It damages your truck, and it's just not good business practice, man. So
what do you have to do to make sure that you don't get overloaded?
Tell them don't load you, don't overload. Yeah, you got to yell. You got to boss up.
And I mean, do you find that you get friction sometimes with that?
Yeah, I do in a way, but because I'm very vocal, I'm not afraid to get out and say, yo, listen, what are you guys doing? Don't be overloading my truck. Take this out or I'll dump and go somewhere else. However, now those are bottom of the barrel jobs where you get a reputable company that actually respects the drivers and respects the business and the laws. You won't get overloaded.
Got you. So that's something for newbies to look out. Definitely look out for.
Yes, because if you get, that's all on you. You get an overload ticket. You don't want that. That's dangerous, right? That goes on your carrier record. As an unsafe company, right? We don't want that. You want to run as clean as possible because your carrier record and the CBOR and stuff, that determines how you'll be charged for insurance and stuff like that, right? So the more infractions you have on your carrier record, the higher your insurance premiums will be, or if you even get insurance next year.
Right, got you. Does that impact getting work? Do the excavation companies have any access into that information?
Yeah. Yes, that can impact your. That can definitely impact your ability to get work. If you're a dangerous company, they don't want you.
Got you. All right. So basically, you said you take that load, you dump it at another site, right? Mm-hmm. And you come back. You do that about how many times a day?
So that depends on the job, the distance away from the job site, whatnot. So like for example, I use the job that we're on currently. I think we do about 5 loads for the day, right? And we get about 10 hours. We get 10 hours for the day. So, yeah, and the job site is about 45 minutes or hour away.
Okay.
Yeah, an hour one way, so 2-hour round trip.
So in that particular job, are you doing per load? Or you're doing hourly?
Yeah, and that's $90 an hour.
Okay, so regardless how many loads you do, you still get in your 10 hours.
Yeah, but we're not doing any more than five loads, because then we have to figure out also if it's feasible for us. We don't want to be burning out our fuel. So five loads, they'll get that. And yeah, that's good.
Got you.
So you have to be able to do your math
also. You have to figure out, okay, get into that real quick. So
you have to figure out your math also to figure out if it's feasible for you, because the construction companies, they're not really caring. They'll tell you to run because they want to get, they're getting paid by the loads. But then you can say, oh, it's $90 an hour, but that six load could put you over a $300 fuel mark, right? Mm. And if you have a driver, then that's taken out of your revenues. Right. So five loads, you can cap out at say $200 in fuel and you're good to go. So you get your $200 in fuel, you have $700 left over.
Got you. So on their side, I mean, what's to stop you from doing two loads or three loads during that 10-hour time? Like, where's the checks and balances to where they know like you're not, you know, kind of just milking the clock per se?
Well, because we won't milk the clock. But we is that balance, right? You'll let them know, hey, we're only doing this much and that's it. And if you have, they kind of need you anyway.
Okay. Right?
They need you. So we make sure we do good work. However, you're not going to take advantage of us, right? You're going to get your loads. That's five loads gone for the day, each truck. But this is our fuel. So this is how much fuel we're burning per kilometer per hour. Then
there's an understanding kind of like from the beginning that we're running five loads and that's it. They already kind of know.
Yes, they'll try to push you, but no, we're not doing it. We're not doing that. We'll just slow it down. We're not doing that.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And then you have to tell other drivers that also, because you may have the drivers that just are company owners that want to get that money and don't want to burn the relationship. So they'll do whatever the clients or the customer says, because they're paying the money. However, you have to stand firm on your end of the business also, because they're not running the trucks, right? You are. So you have to make a fair balance between, it's negotiation. Everything's negotiation. So they have to be fair, right? So we have to tell them, listen, don't pass, slow down. We're only doing this much,
right?
And then you're training them how to treat you, right? So
we're only doing. Got you. Now you said you dispatch your own trucks now, right?
Yeah.
But previously when you first got started, you were getting dispatched, right? Somebody was dispatching you.
Yes.
So what's a typical, like, how do you recommend when somebody's new into the game, what do you think they should do? Do they look for a dispatcher or do they try to like make their own contacts first? What do you suggest for?
I would go with a dispatcher or a broker first.
Okay.
Holla at me if you're in Toronto. Holla at me. But okay. Yeah, I will go to your broker or dispatcher first, only because if you're new, you get a chance to see how the business runs. You get a chance to make different connections. You go on different job sites, and you know exactly how it runs, as opposed to you going to this one person and you don't really know what's going on, right? So, and then you get to be around other drivers that you can learn from and ask questions to and learn more. So it's always better to go, I believe, to go with a broker. It's almost like a mentor in trucking.
Mm.
Yeah. Got but you. Pick the right one.
Got you. And how do you pick the right one? What do you look for?
Jobs, like the type of jobs you're getting.
Okay. Right?
If they send you to the bottom of the barrel jobs, like if they're getting upset at you if you turn down a job, right? Like don't pick any. I know it's difficult to say when you're just starting, you don't want to say no, but you have to teach people how to treat you, right? So sending my truck to this job that's bumpy and overloads me because they don't really care. All they're getting is their $25 dispatch fee and their 7% factoring fee, right? So,
is that what it normally is? $25 per load, or is that
per day?
Per day.
Yeah.
So it's $25 per day each truck.
Yes.
Okay, and you said they get a 7% factoring fee also?
Yeah, so if you go to, so I don't factor. So whoever you go to your factoring fee, your factoring person, they'll charge you that fee anywhere from 6 to 7%. But if you're getting dispatched, the dispatch fee is usually $20 to $25 a day per truck.
Okay.
So you're paying $20 to gross $800 to $900 a day.
Got you. So you've done both. You did over the road as well, right?
Yes.
So do you feel that getting into the dump trucks is a lot less complicated than over the road? Like, what do you think in relation to the two?
We don't have, there's no IFTA, there's no IRA, There's none of that. There's no hours of service for you to comply with, really, right? You're just local. There's no layover time. There's no, if you don't get the load here on a certain time, then you have to wait till tomorrow to deliver this thing. There's none of that.
Right.
None of that.
It definitely seems pretty clear cut.
Mm-hmm. So it is.
What are some of the downsides though?
The repetitive. So if you're in a job, let's say you have a contract or a job that's maybe 3 weeks at this site, you're running that one route for like the next 3 weeks, right? I think the repetitiveness would be the downfall, I would say.
A redundant job doing the same thing all the time.
Over and over and over, right? So then you have to make yourself, you have to entertain yourself that way. So, and the thing about the dump trucking and my guys that I run with here in Toronto, so you might get the lights in the truck if you're doing nights. You might get the booming systems in the truck. You might shine your truck up, paint it. That way you're feeling more comfortable and get a new seat, stuff like that, where you're in the truck, make it more enjoyable for you, that you're not bored. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Got you. So these we talked about the bottom of the barrel jobs. We don't want to do those. What are the best type of jobs that you like? That like when you get on this type of site, it's like, oh man, I like doing this type of work. This is good for me.
Paving. Paving is good. Asphalt. Like grinding. If you get grinding, like in the States they call it milling. So if you get the grindings and the millings, those are like easy jobs. You're not burning damn near any fuel, right? And yeah, like paving and asphalt is hurry up and wait. So you get to the job site, the asphalt plant, and you get your load, you pull up to the highway or whatnot if you're doing highway, and you wait. You probably do 3-4 loads for the day, and you get 10 to 12 hours, and you barely burnt any fuel, right? So those are like gravy jobs. Or if you get like a job that we're on right now, it's just a nice long distance run. No one bothers you, no nothing. You get your load, hit the road. So you're driving for about an hour there and back, and you take your breaks and hang out with the guys. And yeah, those are the easy jobs, right? Gotcha. The hardest jobs are the ones where they're making you run all the time. Like you don't want to be running up and up because it burns your fuel. It's dangerous. Especially if you're running the city, having to start and stop. Yeah. You don't want those jobs.
Got you. So I know a lot of times in like semi-trucking, you know, conventional wisdom, people will say, you know, you can't make money off of one truck. You really start making money once you have 2-3 trucks, right? That's when you start making your money. Is that the same in dump trucks?
Yes. Big facts. Yeah. Yeah. You can make a living. If you're an owner operator, you can make a living. And if you budget your finances well enough, you can make a decent living, right? You could own a home. You could do all that stuff. But if you want to become a wealthy individual, you have to own many more trucks. You know what I mean? Many more trucks.
Got you. What's that point for you? Like, what would you like to get to? You talk about having your fleet. What do you see your fleet as being?
I personally want 7 that I own, but I would invest and partner with as much as whoever else wants. But 7 is good for me if I own it myself.
Got you. And why that number?
Well, 7 is God's number. That's a fact.
Right?
And yep. it's just easy to manage if I'm doing it myself or with a one business partner, because it's a lot. It's paperwork. Now you have drivers to worry about. You have compliance. So all this stuff you have to, I want to be able to just manage it correctly. And 7 is a good number. So let's say if you're grossing 150 to 200,000 off of every truck, then you times that by 7. I'm good with that.
Got you. So in scaling and doing what you're doing now, you have multiple people running under your authority. What's some of the things that that's taught you, that you've learned in doing that?
From scaling, don't grow too fast. Get the right team, because you want to be able to depend on your team also, right? And we want to be able to share this vision. So in the past, I've realized, okay, I've been giving people work, and I'm dispatching you, but I want to build my name, my company name, my team, because if I build it, then we all can eat. However, if they know that JD Inc. has 10 trucks, he's dispatching 10 trucks, if they call me tomorrow, and they're going to expect 10 trucks. But if I gave you a truck to, I give you a job today, but then you say, no, I don't want that one, I'm going to go work with Barry and them over here, then I only have 9 trucks, so I can't fulfill these orders. So it doesn't look good. where I can't supply these
kind that of you promise.
Trucks. Right, exactly.
Does that happen a lot to where people will moonlight with different different companies and say, I'm running with you, but then if something better comes up, they'd be like, nah, I'm doing this one.
Yep. All the time. All the time.
So how do you stop that? Just by having people with a good word?
Not working with them. That's, you can see, like, Truck Motivation, he knows. I stopped working with different people, right? And he knows about that. We just stopped working with them. We only work with a certain caliber of individuals. You know, me and Truck Motivation is one of them. He's a good guy. But yeah, we stay away from the iffy ones, right? Yeah. It's not worth my money because it's my reputation as a company that's on the line. So when the company calls and says, hey, Damien or Jada, we expected 8 trucks today, but only 7 are here, right? Or if they say, okay, we want 10 more trucks, the same 10 tomorrow, and I can't provide the 10 trucks, only 8 or only 7 because these guys want to go over there and try this job, then it looks bad on us.
Got you. So why would someone do that? Because the job is just better? They have a better opportunity at the other job? Or is that, what's the reasoning behind that? I'm just trying to...
They may think it's a better opportunity or a better job. Because sometimes it might be.
Okay.
For that day or those 2 days or that week. However, we're thinking about the long run, right? We can now go stick it out with this company or the unified front, and we get bigger jobs and better jobs.
Mm.
Steady income, as opposed to you jumping like a hood rat, jumping and just stick it out and ride it out with a team. Win, lose or draw. This is your team, right? Stick with your team, right? And your team will win. If they lose, you lose. You figure out why you lost. But once you win, you win. You win together. Everyone can get a ring. You know what I mean? Don't be bouncing around to team hopping, just trying to get a ring. That's not always going to work. That's not a good thing.
Got you. So you talk about that word team. So obviously in any team, you have to have some type of leadership. Talk about leadership. What does that mean to you? And what is leadership to you?
Leadership is extremely important. And I'm glad you brought that up because I have an amazing team and you don't really see them because they're more behind the scenes, right? I'm a Leo. So, you know, when I'm ready to be out there, I'm always the face of everything, but I have a great team behind me. Like, you know, Darren, which is my mentor, Keith, which is my investor, my homie, my brother, right? These guys they're not really underground. They don't care about that. You know? but I want to shout them out because I don't want everyone to misconstrue the notion that I'm doing it by myself, because nothing is done by yourself, right? There's no, I was telling this young lady this the other day, I'm like, there's no such thing as a self-made millionaire. We all had help, whether it was a connection, whether it was a boost of motivation, it was a team. Right. You had your gift, yes, and your skills, but it was a team. Right. So with that being said, leadership is extremely important because I want to make sure that I'm leading my whoever's on my team the right way, the best way. So I'll go out and I'll make sure I get all the connections. I make all the connections and they make connections also. And we just put them all together and we Cardo Fresh and I, we speak probably like twice, 3 times a week. He'll call me like, yo, big bro, I got this going on. What you think of this? Let's do this. And I'll be like, okay, that's good. Hey, Cardo, what you think of this? I got this. And yeah, that's how it is, man. Leadership is extremely important. So I want to be the best leader I can be, right? So I'll go and make all those mistakes and I'll come back. Because I don't mind being the first person over the hill to catch all those shots for my team. Because when I go back now, I can be like, man, they shooting over there. But listen, if you go over to the right, they're slacking over here. We could go get this. You know what I mean? So that's how I've always been like that. Right? I'm not afraid to go do that for my folks.
Got you. Okay, cool. So let's get back into talking about this course that you've just recently dropped.
Big Drip.
Big Drip. First, let's talk about the name, man. Why is it Big Drip?
My son loves that. Anytime you'll hear him called the Big Jail. I wanted to relate to the culture, right? And we all know what that drip is. So when I say Big Drip or we got that drip, we know exactly what we're speaking about with that, right? That feels, right? So Big Drip is business innovation guide. for the dump truck revenue investment plan. So it's literally a big drip. You're getting all this drip, all this sauce, you know what I mean, for a nominal price. And yeah, it's for the people. It's for us. You know what I mean? Gotcha. You get a lot of knowledge from that course or that guide.
And how has the response been so far?
It's been lovely.
It's been lovely. Dope.
Yeah. It's the big drip just dropped. So we're gonna be pushing that now. But the drip has been received well. And that's more for an introductory course for the
people. So just explain the difference, because you have two courses. So just explain them both so they don't get lost.
Right. So the drip now, that's introductory. Right. If you want to know how to get into dump trucking and just some information on how you should go about it, how from starting your company to purchasing your truck, what to look for, then if you've been on the fence, you go ahead on and get the drip. That'll teach you everything that you need to know about getting into it. Now, if you're ready to go purchase and you want your contacts, you want actual numbers that you can call to get work, and what types of trucks to buy, what the jobs look like, what type of jobs to get, what type of trucks to get, then the big drip is for you. That'll give you everything. I'm walking you in the door.
Got you. Dope, man. I remember on our first show, we talked a lot about the branding and about, you know, kind of everything that you do on the gram and all that stuff. How have you used that in relation to this course? Like, are you using the same type of process in your marketing of the course, so forth and so on? Talk about that.
Yes. So as far as branding, yeah, I'm still doing the same thing because that's what I know. You know what I mean? Right. I just want it to be more authentic, man, and make it look cool, because, you know, we want to be able to catch the new generation, the generation coming up. And if it looks boring, we're not going to do it. I know I'm not. Right. So we're just showing the people how to. Yeah, this is a lifestyle, man. We're creating a lifestyle behind this thing. It's a lifestyle brand, like Big Drip. You can still have you can live a certain lifestyle, but not the ramifications of a certain lifestyle.
Right. Okay. Got you. All right. So let's talk some current events real quick.
Yes.
Talk to me about the George Floyd situation. How that's impacted? Because you're in Canada.
Yes.
So what's the atmosphere out there after that situation? Everything that we have going on right now. Talk to me about it. What's the temperature in Toronto right now?
Man, they're protesting like crazy over here also. I mean, and we have our issues with racism here as well. In Toronto especially. So as far as Canada, Toronto is the more predominantly black city. There's Toronto, there's Montreal, and there's Nova Scotia. Toronto is, we're like the largest, right? So we see a lot of police brutality here. I've experienced it. My peers have experienced it. You see it a lot, right? And so they're protesting and they're marching and they're speaking up as well. It's not as wild as it is in the States, but yeah, it's still, and Canada has more, I would say it's more low-key racism. It's not as blatant as it is in the States. Here is more silent. Just face, but it's still racism. They're not gonna let you get certain jobs. Redlining is still a thing, right? So yeah. But we're standing, because we're all black. We're standing, we're riding, and it has to be united front. Right. Yeah. I'm ready because I think change is needed. And I think it's a good time because I don't want us to lose the momentum also of what's going on, because in spite of the oppression that's been handed down to us, we now can see that working together, as cliche as that sounds, and we've been telling each other that for the longest, is the most important thing ever. How are we going to change laws? I think, okay, you're going to get me in this now. All right.
Let's do it. This is what the people want.
All right. So here we go. We need, in the hood growing up, you always hear, F the police. So now we have a generation that of people that are anti-police, but instead of telling them F the police, we should have told him to be the police because we need us policing us. Right. So let's say, all right, I know Ramel, we grew up together, but I'm an officer now. Right. In this community, there's certain things that deserves a slap on the wrist that I can give you now, as opposed to killing you because I got to go face your mama in church on Sunday.
Mm.
Right. I don't hate you. I don't hate your people. Right. We need more lawyers. We need to infiltrate the system. We need to be in the system to change it, not just protesting and telling them to change laws, because you're telling people that hate us to change laws. So they're changing it not out of love and respect for us, but because of demands. And
right.
You know what I mean? So we need to do a little bit more, I think.
So that's interesting. That's an interesting point. So have we been tricked into a narrative of feeling as though we have to feel these certain ways about government and these authoritative figures, the police, government, so forth and so on, to where we don't want to get involved? Is that what you're kind of saying? Like, we don't want to be a part of it, but how else are we going to change it if we're not of it?
Exactly. Yes, exactly what I'm saying. Because now we just told, the narrative was that if you went to school, if you were a nerd, quote unquote, right. a nerd, you like reading books, you weren't the cool kid. So you couldn't get no girls. You couldn't be the fly guy at the block because you wore tighter jeans than the neighborhood kid smoked weed. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then you have a bunch of confused children, men and women, that grew up shooting guns when they should have been reading books because they wanted to fit in. They didn't want to shoot no guns, no none of that. But as a child, you want to be a part of something. You want to be able to walk the neighborhood safely without being teased. So now you have as people who are supposed to be an engineer, you have a doctor, some lawyers, some judges who turn to be hustlers and gangbangers because they couldn't take the peer pressure of us telling them and the TV telling us, nah, you want to be cool? Sell this drug. Rob this person.
Right.
Get the girls. Right. So we have to change that narrative as well. Right. Because now even if there's going to be criminals and there's going to be good guys, even if you go to jail now, okay, you're going to get better treatment in jail from that nerd that, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because they know you from the neighborhood.
Right.
They're not beating you up in jail. They're making sure you get your phone calls and stuff like that. So yeah, I think we were part of a reason also that that all this stuff is happening to us.
Yeah, so it's crazy because it's like, for, you know, coming up, you know, we have similar backgrounds or similar mm-hmm. upbringings. So, you know, we've always been taught to praise like the gangsters, you know what I'm saying? We've always looked up to the gangsters in the street, the drug dealers, you know, even murderers, you know, and people mm-hmm. who just, you know, like do violent things. And like in our mind, like those are the people who even to this day, we still salute like, yo.
Right.
That's that guy, you know, he was real. He kept it real. He did his thing in the streets and all that. But like you said, other cultures don't really do that. Or do they? I mean, some other cultures do that. I mean, like if you look at the Italian culture, you know, they kind of look at like the Godfather and all that. Like, right. but it's different though. It's almost like they know how to, what's the word I'm looking for? They can distinguish
right.
from the two. It's like they look at it and it's like, yeah, that's cool, but we still know that we don't have to be a part of that
right.
in order to be successful in this life.
And even if we wanna take a look into like the Italian or the mob or what we see on television, for
right.
example, okay, they're still gentlemen. So when they're doing their dirt, they're doing their dirt, but when they go home now it's family, right?
They're
eating together,
yes,
expecting their wives, right? It's family. And even in the prisons now, in the jails, they're sending little Johnny and Timmy to make sure they're a lawyer, make sure they're a police
right.
officer, make sure they're a guard, because even if they're going to do their dirt, you know, when we go on the other side, we're so protected because these people know me. We grew up together, right? We've
right.
been alienating ourselves, and we just alienate.
And they also show that there needs to be some type of order and governing body.
Right.
You know what I mean? To even in crime and even in dirt, there still has to be order. There's different families, yes. right? There's a family here on the east side. There's a family here on the west side, family in here. And they all come together, break bread together and make decisions together.
Exactly.
Right?
For the betterment
of the whole.
Right.
right? And if somebody goes against that, then they're out. Right. You know what I mean? They got to get dealt with, but it's not personal. It's business, because you're going against what's going to make us all rise together.
Exactly. Yeah, we want to build a legacy.
Right.
And your one opinion and actions can't stop what the family goal of this thing is, because we want it to live forever. You know what I mean? Live forever. So like you said, it's not personal, right? So I should be able to call Ramel, and I should be able to call Power, Push, Weight, and all. And we may not always agree, but for the betterment of our goal, we have to agree.
Right. We have that conglomerate. Whereas for us as Black youth coming up in the hood, it's like, it's not that same thing. It's like every man for themselves.
Right.
Kill the man with the ball. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Whoever's flossing the most, whoever's shining the most, we got to take that person out to be on top. You know what I mean? And that's a cycle.
We can all eat, man. And it's better when we all eat together. Listen, I'm not going to have the money you have and vice versa. But as long as we're all eating, like I like, what's the name? Beanie said, I'm not the captain of the yacht, but I'm on the boat. You know? You're on the boat. What are you mad at?
Right.
He's the captain. Look at him, all captain in it. You're on the boat. You're on the yacht.
Right.
You're not back on the island stranded.
Right.
On the yacht. What are you mad at?
Yeah.
Right? Help row. You know what I mean?
There's
rowers. There's you could be a cook. This doesn't matter. Just find your position. Everybody wants to be the leader. Everyone wants to be the head. What's the point of being the head of nothing?
That's a fact. And the thing that's crazy is you even see people with success with a crab in the barrel mentality. Right. It's like you get into the bag, you getting money, and you still trying to pull other people with money down or try to outshine them or whatever the case may be. It's crazy, man. It's like a sickness. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is. It's a cancer. It literally is. Anytime that you want to kill any other part of the body or kill any, that's a cancer. You're cancerous. And we have to eradicate. We need chemo. Get rid of that.
Yeah.
Get rid of that now. So yeah, I think there's a lot of things to do. I was speaking to my little brother Duman the other day. He mentioned something. He's like, yo, take care of, clean your room first. Right. So we have to figure out, we have to work on us first, work on our family, our household, and create businesses in our household, create structure in our household, create self-dependency in our household, and then teach others to go do so. Because fam, we have the spending power, the buying power, right? We are the culture, right? I agree that there's a system that needs to be torn down. However, we're in my opinion, we're in the generation, the era that we have the power to do so by just removing ourselves from their institutions, lift up, empower our own, and build our own institutions. We don't need them, right? And then here's one other thing too. I think it's more economics than anything, because I think there'll always be, not racism, but there's always going to be people who don't like you, right? So in other communities, why aren't they oppressed as much as we are? Well, we have no economic backing. If they were to say anything to China right now, China has power. They build stuff. They trade stuff. They own stuff. You can't just go to war with those guys because they have something of value. India, the Middle East has oil. We need to bargain and we need to sit down and talk with these guys. What do we have?
Right.
We don't have an industry that we have on lock where they have to sit and talk to us at the table as businessmen. They can do anything they want to us, right? That's even when you see Africans from the motherland that come over here, they come over here with oil money or mineral money and businesses that you have to sit and negotiate with these guys. You can't just go and do anything you want to these guys. So what do we have? So we start to have something so valuable and tangible that's worth millions and trillions of dollars, then they have to speak to us differently. In my opinion. Otherwise, just like, what are you? Go to the store. You're a blunt boy. Go get the blunt.
Right. I mean, it's crazy because, I mean, you're absolutely right. But it's like, man, it almost feels like we're so behind the eight ball to get to that point. It's like, man, like how many years does that take to even get to the point to where we can even have a seat? To come to the table with something and say, yo, this is what we have. This is, you know, if we pull this out, it'll crumble. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to talk to us.
Yeah. Right? I don't know how that's going to take, but I know, like Pac said, I may not be able to change the world, but I'm going to spark the soul who does. And I think that we can, like I said, start with us, build our own thing, but then you just keep educating our people on the point of becoming an economic pillar. Right? That's what I think. Right? Right. We might, it's going to be, this is taking years. Yeah. Not going to happen tonight, but we have to start. And I think that we're starting now to realize, I think the bigger picture is being broadcasted, but I just want the momentum to keep going.
Yeah.
Right? Learn, right? Teach our children that. Like, there's nothing wrong with being proud to be Black. Every race has their pride.
Right.
Every race. Why is it an issue when we want to showcase our pride? It shouldn't be. And you shouldn't be embarrassed to do so, right? The Asian community, they're going to buy in the Asian community before they buy in your community, if they ever buy in our community. They're going to set up shop in our community, but they're not buying from us.
That's a fact.
Their dollar's going back to them. Where's our dollar?
And in a lot of cases, they're not employing us either. You know what I'm saying? They'll set up shop, like you said, in our communities. They won't employ us. They won't give back to our communities. They won't support the children or the schools or anything in our community. Like you said, they're just basically, you know, bleeding the community, taking everything out of the community, and then putting it somewhere else. And the community gets nothing for it. You know what I mean? So even from that standpoint, it's like maybe we have to start having conditions who we let into our community to where we say, look, if you're going to operate and do business in this community, you have to hire us. You have to, you know what I'm saying? Give back to this community. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Or we don't even hire them in our community because we have the same skills.
Right.
We could run stores.
Right.
We could look, you're not doing nothing. You seen the nails on our women? Lit. You're not doing it better than nothing. Independence and education where they can go get these loans, or even if you can't get a conventional loan from a bank, somebody fund that, put your nail salon up, and we go support that.
Right.
We have to take control. Don't even let them come in. Me personally, and I could be wrong, I don't think we need anybody else in our community.
Yeah. I agree. But my thing is if they are going to be there, then they need to be conditions on it. Right. You know what I'm saying? I agree with you. We don't need it. But if you are going to be there, you just don't live there for free. It ain't rent free. You got to pay the tax. You know what I'm saying? There has to be a tax associated with that.
Right.
You know, because we just can't go into any community without paying some kind of tax. You know what I mean? Exactly. So they got to pay the tax. And that will come with us kind of standing firm on something. But again, we have to be organized and we got to be together and say, yo, this is what we're not going to put up with this. This is, these are the conditions upon which you can come in here, do business, so forth and so on. You know what I mean? And we're not trying to bully nobody, but it's just like, yo, this is what it needs to be. Like, this is what it needs to be.
I agree with you. It has to be that way, because if we say we love our children, we can't leave our children in the hands of people who don't like us.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's another thing, like the treatment, like you go into some of these stores and they don't even treat you with respect.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But then us, we'll still go back and we'll still patronize the stores.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. So get out of here. You know what I'm saying? They looking at you crazy. They think you stealing. They could care less about you, the breath in your body. They'll kick you out of their store, but you know, you'll go right back there and you'll buy your little 25-cent soda or whatever the case may be. Like, it's nothing. So where is our integrity? Like, where is our, like, where do we say, like, yo, I'm not going to take that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to put up with that. And I think that's where it starts. It has to start with us making that decision that we're not going to put up with certain things, man.
Exactly. No, we have to. We have to put a foot down. And I think it's keep it down.
Yeah.
Lift it up. They have to lift up their foot.
Right.
Keep our foot down, right? Because we have to, like, come on, man. Like, how many times are going to, how many more years are going to let us die, kill us in the street, right? If you're from a certain lifestyle, you know this stuff's been going on. It's just being filmed now. And the camera phones and all that. But how many more times are you going to be, nah, fam.
Mm-mm. Right, Right. So now is definitely the perfect time to keep that pressure on, keep this momentum going. And I think what we're missing is leadership. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't really have the leadership. The leaders that we had are older, like Farrakhan. You know what I'm saying? He's older now. Farrakhan damn near 90 years old, man. Who's gonna step in his place and, you know, just give us some type of governing or leadership or something to listen to or an agenda or something. You know what I mean? And it's a lot of
entertainer.
Right. That's not because it's not an entertainer's job to do so. You know, it's their job to entertain. And I mean, some of them have good ideas or whatever the case may be. But if you're going to be if you're actually planning the next 100 to 200 to 1,000 years for us, you got to be focused on that every day, not shooting a bull. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
I don't see any other race that has entertainers as political leaders anyway.
100%. 100%.
And that's like, is that a thing? Is that a game? Are they allowing that to happen? Because they know they want anything serious? Because it's entertaining. Nah, we need some real people who are actually out here on the front lines doing it, that has links and connections in the government offices, municipal, federal level, all of that. Not just an entertainer. You know what I mean?
That's a fact, man. And we got to stop worshiping these entertainers and just, you know, holding on to their every word. And, you know, check out your social media and all this, and people get so caught up in what these entertainers say, man. It's like, they're just a human being just like you, man. They're going to say one thing today and another thing tomorrow, man.
Right.
Right. And at the end of the day, a lot of them are just doing it for clout. They just doing it just to get attention. You know what I'm saying? To just get you amped up and to get you commenting and liking and whatever the case may be.
Algorithm could go on.
Right. Exactly. It's all about clout, man. He's doing the 6ix9ine. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. 6ix9ine
in us. They say 6ix9ine in us, man. You know what I mean? That boy right there, he knows how to stoke some emotions, man. He knows how to get people riled up. And he's okay. He's playing the game. They falling for it.
Like, how dumb are my people? Or people, period. Like, why are you falling for this? This is trickery. Like, you know, I don't. It's foolishness, man. I think we just need to stay focused. Not the time to be running games right now. It's a serious time. There's a time for everything. It's a season for everything. And right now, it's a serious time, man. Like, serious time. Generational wealth. Independence. Right? Knowledge. You know, time. Like, there's a time to be in the club and there's a time to be in the bedroom studying. Right now, it's not time to be in the club. I know we all want to be outside and everything like that. Fam. Right? Don't learn and study, because we don't want to miss this opportunity. We don't want to be part of this. We want to be part of the new revolution.
Yeah.
Right? There's things that need to change. And just start with us. We don't need the celebrities. It's us.
That's start a with fact. Yourself. And it starts with educating yourself, man. It always starts with education. You know what I'm saying? If you knew better, you'd do better. You know what I mean?
Do better. Exactly. So, on the business, just do something different. Learn, invest, right? Instead of following, nothing wrong with entertainment, but limit it, right? If you go on your Instagram every morning, your social media accounts, and everything that's popping up is entertainment posts, then you're doing something wrong, man.
Right.
Like, if that's all that's popping up, that means that's all you're searching. Go find
right.
Stuff, you know what I mean? Go
right. Stuff, it feeds you back what you're feeding. Exactly. Which you're feeding. So that's actually a good idea. If you look at your Instagram based on what you're seeing, that tells you exactly what you're into. Because that algorithm on your Explorer page is feeding you exactly what you feed it.
Exactly, and what you like, it, man. If you're not getting Todd Millionaire, if you're not getting the Wall Street Trapper,
right?
The trucking guru. There's this girl named that I forgot her name, but she's with the man. Listen,
I know you to the Black Upstart. Yeah,
right. You need to follow these type of people and get some information. We're in the information age, man. It's like I said, there's nothing wrong with entertainment, but limit it. Right? You have no excuse. There's Gary V's. There's Eric Thomas's. There's just so much people out there. There's trucking hustle.
Like, no doubt.
Man.
No doubt. Information.
There's no excuse, and we just learn and build, man. That's it.
No doubt. 100%, man. All right, Damien, listen, we gonna start cutting it. We've been rocking for an hour and a half, man.
Jeez, already?
It's already been an hour and a half. So you know the deal. You know what I'm saying? You know, stranger to the show. You know what time it is, man. We got to we got to make sure we give our final thought and let everybody know where they could find you, where they could follow you and connect with you. So let's start with that. And then give me that final thought for the Hustle fam, man.
Okay. So my Instagram, Jada_trucking_empire. My YouTube is Jada Inc. I have the website, Jada Truck, www.jadatruckingempire.com. There you can go and get the courses, the drip and the big drip. You know what I mean? And yeah, if you want to get into this dump trucking game, this change your lifestyle, make some great money, create generational wealth for yourself, get that course. Get that course is dump trucking. You want to be home, you want to be local and make great money. That's the course for you. No and doubt. I just want to tell my people to just, as cliche as it sounds, stick together, man. Stick together, right? We're not always going to be in agreement with everything that we all say. But if we have a code and one goal, a common goal, then we can get there, right? And we can get there, especially in this climate now. We need more protection for each other, more love. It's not time for no hating stuff, man. Cut that out. That gangbang stuff is, if you're going to do it to the enemy who are trying to hurt you and trying to kill you, not to each other. Right? Like protect my son. Let me protect your son, protect my daughter. And I protect your daughter. You know what I mean? Like, this is not the time, you know, and I'm from the streets and I'm telling you this, you know what I mean? Like that's dead. We want businesses because check this out. The nerds that you made fun of are who's running the world right now. They're running the world. You see this app that you're listening to? Nerd. Instagram, nerd. That business model, the Uber that you take, nerd. You know what I mean? No offense to the nerds. I don't want to call them nerds, but it's the yeah. Let's make money, man.
Let's make money. As a fact. I love it. Yo, sure. Damian Blackman, Jada Trucking Empire, thank you so much on joining me for today, man. Make sure y'all check out that drip course and that big drip course. Could we do something for the Hustle fam, man, on that big drip course, man? Could we give them a little love? Anybody listening right now?
Yeah. You know what? We want to give them some a discount.
We want to give it away. Do we want to give it away? What you want to do?
We can give one away.
Okay. We can give one away. So how we going to do it?
I don't know, man.
And we didn't think about this, y'all. We just threw this out here just now. Man, let me see. Damn, I gotta think about this one, man. How we gonna give it away?
It's a great idea. We don't know. That's how you know it hasn't been planned. You know what I mean? We're gonna give them a discount.
Okay, so, we're giving a discount.
Yeah, we're gonna give them a. You have to go onto the Truck and Hustle page and click your special link, and they'll get a 20 or 30% discount. What do you think? 20 or 30?
Let's give them 30, man. For the Hustle fans, let's give them 30. Let's give them 30.
They got to click the link in your bio.
Matter of fact, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to put the link in my bio, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to drop this on Tuesday, right? Mm-hmm. They got till the following Tuesday to get 30% off. They got 1 week. They're going to click the link in my bio, 30% off for 1 week.
For the big drip.
For the big drip. All right? How that sound? I still want to see how we give one away.
They got to do something, man.
We can't just give it away. It just can't be free. It can't be free. You got to do something. We got to exchange energy here. You got to put some energy into it. You know what I'm saying?
Give us a story or something. Why you deserve it.
Okay. Okay.
And then the community.
All right. So we could do that. So where are they going to put the story? So they're going to post the story. Mm-hmm. They're going to add us, yes. Right? They're going to add you and I, at Jada Trucking Empire, at Trucking Hustle. What story got to be about? What's the story?
Their journey.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to see their journey. Tell me something that I want to see what you've done to change your life in the last year and how you've impacted someone else's life in the last year.
I like that. That's dope.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
It's not about us. We got to be helping others also. So I want to know what you've done for somebody else in the last year.
All right, perfect. So post a story about what you've done to help somebody else in your journey in the last year. Mention Jada Trucking Empire, mention Truck and Hustle, and then we're going to pick the one that is the most compelling story, and we're going to send you that big drip for free.
Big facts, big drip. Yeah, and this 30% is off of the big drip.
Yeah. And
for you guys too, let's understand, we also have payment installment plans. So if you don't have the upfront cash, you can just pay in installments, because I understand the issues with the COVID and the quarantine and all that. So there's a payment plan that you can utilize as well. So we giving back to our people out here.
That's a fact. Dope, bro. Damian Blackman, I appreciate you, bro. Thank you for joining me on the anniversary.
And we got to pop a virtual bottle.
For sure. I throw some sound effects or something like that in there. Man, I appreciate you, man. Like I said, man, you inspired me. You were definitely one of my inspirations to do this show. When I saw your page and I saw what you were doing, you definitely let me know that this show was possible, because you embodied everything that I was trying to present with Truck and Hustle. So, you know, big shouts to you for doing that, man. And just keep on inspiring the culture, man, and doing what you're doing.
Much respect, man. You as well, man. You as well, for sure. You know, anything you need, I got you, man. And I thank you, because the people may not understand, it's more than just an interview relationship. Like, I actually, like, I'll hit them up. Like, yo, what do you think of this?
Right.
He's like, man, listen, forget the people, man. Do what you got to do. You know, this is a relationship. It's my brother. You know,
no doubt.
It's deeper than just some likes and some views on social media, man. Like, I respect this guy to the utmost. So I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for bring trucking to the to the world, not just the country, but to the world, man, and inspiring people and giving us a platform for us to share our journey on this thing. So much appreciated, man. Thank you to you and the fam, man, for real.
For sure, bro.
Stick soon, man, for sure.
No doubt. I'll be in the six as soon as I can, man, for sure.
Hey, you done, though.
All right, my brother, you be easy, man. Take care. And we gonna have to announce that winner real soon. All right?
All right, you done, though.
Respect, all right, my brother. I'll talk to you soon. Later. If you like what you heard, it's only going to get better. Make sure you subscribe and leave us a comment. Let us know what you want to learn or hear more about. Till next time, love is love. Truck and Hustle.